I greet you all again, and in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in this passage, the Bible tells us that Moses and Jethro were reunited again. We first heard of Jethro in Exodus chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, that was in the context where Moses tended to the flock of Jethro. And then the other occasion where we hear about Jethro, it was in Exodus chapter 4, where Moses requested of Jethro that he be allowed to return to Egypt for his brethren's sake. And that was after he received the call of the Lord. Then he had this burden in answering the Lord's call to bring his brethren out of Egypt, to see how the Lord would deliver his people out of Egypt. So that was the last occasion that we hear about Jethro. And since then, the Bible did not mention much about Jethro until this point where the Bible reintroduced to us Jethro again. And Jethro is going to play an important role in the life of Israel, where apart from this instance where they met again together, he was the one who is going to advise Moses with regard to the appointing of the elders or the judges in Israel. Because Moses at that time was judging Israel alone, and he was overburdened and he was so taxed that he sought the counsel of Jethro, and through the counsel of Jethro, he then appointed judges to help him to judge the matter in Israel. So this is the context in which we are going to look at this person, Jethro. Nothing much is said about him, nothing else is said about him apart from what we have in chapter 3, chapter 4, and also in this passage. But nevertheless, you see how Jethro plays a significant role in the history of Israel. Now, if you have not met some friends, your Christian friends especially, for some time, how do you feel when you meet each other again? Do you look forward to such occasions where you can meet your Christian friends, fellow believers, those in the body of Christ, having not met them for some time, and then now, when you are able to meet them again, I wonder, how do you feel? Do you have a longing for that? Do you enjoy Christian fellowship? Do you look forward to church camp every year, where we are able to spend this 1 week together with Christian brothers and sisters? And not only just to church camp. How about every Lord's Day as well? Do you look forward to each Lord's Day, where apart from being able to enter into the Lord's house to worship the Lord, we are able also to fellowship with one another, to gather together. You know, and this gathering and assembling together is a very important part of the life of the church. And that is something that live streaming cannot replace. Because to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day, it is not just only in the worship service itself. Now, of course, that is the highlight of the Lord's Day. That is a very important part, if not the most important part of the Lord's Day. But when we look at the Bible, when we look at the New Testament, the early church, you will see how the Bible emphasizes how they gathered together. In fact, as we think about the word, the church, we know it refers to the called out ones, right? That's the literal meaning of the church. Now, in the Hebrew, there's also an equivalent for that, and actually that is the name from where we get the book Ecclesiastes. Right? The only difference is that in the book of Ecclesiastes, it refers to the person who calls them out. And the person who calls them out is the preacher. And that is how Solomon introduced himself in the book of Ecclesiastes. But the meaning of that word does not only just describe the called out ones. It also describes those who have been, who are assembled together. So the preacher is not only the person who calls out the people, But he's also the one who has assembled the people together. And the meaning of the church is they are called out. Yes, they are called out from the world. But they are called out to be assembled together. And that's what the church is to be. And you see how the Bible emphasizes this gathering and this assembly. Do you look forward to this? And when you see each other, you know, every Lord's Day, and when you also meet for church camp, or even on your own, when you gather together, what do you gather to do? And this is what we are going to see in this passage. Because even though we have not heard about or seen much about Jethro prior to this chapter, the last time we see and we read about him, it is in Exodus chapter 4. Now, when they meet together, you see that there is this excitement. There was this eagerness to fellowship with one another, to share in the things of God together, to encourage one another, and to praise God together. And this is what we are going to look at in this passage. Now, the first thing that you will see and notice here is from verse 1 to 6, the seeking together. You see how Jethro sought to meet Moses. Now, the context here was that Jethro, he heard about what God has done for Moses. Now, we do not know exactly how he heard about this news of how the children of Israel came out from Egypt. Perhaps there would be travelers or merchants, you know, and through these sources, various sources, it came to his attention that Moses and the people were delivered out of Egypt. So this was the news that Jethro heard. When you look at the description here in verse 1, the Bible says that he heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. So he heard about this very good and very wonderful news. Now, at this time, most likely Jethro was still in this region of Midian. The Bible tells us that he was a priest of Midian. And so the location is important. He would still be in this region of Midian. If you look at your map, okay, the region of Midian would be located towards the east of the Gulf of Aqaba. Okay? So if you look at your map, if you are familiar with the geography of, you know, the region of Egypt and of Israel, okay, there is this Persian Gulf that would separate into the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba. Okay, and in between this Red Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba, there is what is known as the Sinai Peninsula. Okay, that is in our maps today. Okay, and this Sinai Peninsula would be also where Mount Sinai is located. And most likely, it would be where the children of Israel with Moses are currently located at. Okay, because the last instance that we read about them, they were at this place called Rephidim. Okay, so Rephidim is part of this Sinai Peninsula. Now, Midian is towards the east of the Gulf of Aqaba. Okay, so on the other side of the Gulf, in other words. Now, what did Jethro do the moment he heard about Moses and what has happened? Now, the Bible tells us, Jethro, in verse 2, Moses' father-in-law took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. Right, so here, the Bible describes and tells us that Moses sends Zipporah back. Now, the last time we also read about Zipporah, it would be in Exodus chapter 4. Okay, and that was where Zipporah told Moses to circumcise the son. Okay, so that was the last time we read about Zipporah. Then somewhere along the line, we are not told when, Moses sent Zipporah back to Midian. Okay, so he had sent her back. That refers to Moses. Okay, Moses sent Zipporah back to Midian to be with Zipporah's father, Moses' father-in-law. Okay, to be with Jethro, in other words. Okay, so at this time, the context here, the picture over here was that Zipporah and the children were with Jethro in Midian. And then Moses went to Egypt so that he could be used of the Lord to deliver the children out of Egypt. Again, all these things were now accomplished. Then Jethro, the father-in-law, took Zipporah and took also the two sons, okay, Gershom, as well as Eliezer, and they traveled down in order to find Moses. So the Bible tells us now in verse 5, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, and come unto thee and thy wife and her two sons with her. So this is the picture over here. Right? Jethro heard about the news, the very wonderful news of how the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. And then hearing this wonderful news, he immediately took his daughter, Zipporah, Moses' wife, and the two children to the wilderness, particularly in Rephidim, to find Moses so that they can be reunited in fellowship again. And this is the seeking together. Now, you can imagine the inconvenience. Now, we do not know exactly which part of Midian Jethro was. We do not know exactly also which part of Rephidim or in the wilderness Moses was. Right? The last time we hear about Moses, they were in Rephidim. But exactly which part, we are not told. So we can only estimate the distance between Midian and Rephidim. Right? The distance between Jethro and Moses. And the distance could be anywhere from 150 kilometers to 200 kilometers or even more, right? Depending on where their exact location was. But it was not a short distance. That we know. They were not nearby each other. It was not just a one-day journey. In fact, it was not just even a two-day's journey. It is 150 kilometers, assuming that a person can cover 50 kilometers a day. Now, that's rather ambitious. Right? But assuming that you can cover 50 kilometers a day, you would take at least 3 days to cover this distance, if it's 150 kilometers. It could be more. And then you look at the inconvenience. Would they have known? How would Jethro know which part of the wilderness Moses was? You know, in those days, you do not have, like, GPS, right? You cannot phone call the person and then say, where are you located at? Can you give me some landmark? Right? Tell me where you are. I will try to find you. Now, of course, one thing that would aid Jethro in finding the people is that there are 2 million people in the wilderness. And perhaps because in the wilderness, it's a very large plain of land. When you look across the horizon, you know, I think it's rather easy, maybe easier in that sense, to spot that 2 million people wandering through the wilderness. Okay, and all he needed to do was just to find this group of people, then he will be able to find Moses. But nevertheless, you can imagine. And it's not something that is very convenient, you know, something that was easy. But that was the eagerness that Jethro had to find Moses. He heard about this very wonderful news. And now, he says, I want to travel down. I want to find Moses. I want to rejoice together with Moses and bringing his daughter and his two sons as well. Now, later we are going to see, right, that the two sons, in their names especially, you know, and the Bible here mentioned their name, is deliberate. It's because this is an expression of the testimony and the thanksgiving. Right, but we are going to look at that later on under the third point. Okay, the testimony, the thanksgiving, the praise, the rejoicing. But just over here, you can see the eagerness, the seeking together. And I wonder today, do we have such eagerness? No, I think that we all can agree it's hardly inconvenient to travel to worship God in church, where we can fellowship with one another. I also don't believe that it is actually in any way inconvenient to visit fellow saints for visitation. But I wonder, are we regular in our worship? Now, of course, by the grace of God, those of you who are here this afternoon, no, you have made that commitment, and that's why you are here. But I wonder whether there are some who are not here. you know, who may somehow be listening to this recording or somewhere, you know, and who have still not been convicted to come to the Lord's house to worship. I wonder what are the reasons that people may give for being unwilling to gather together for worship, to gather together to fellowship with fellow saints. I wonder what are some of the reasons that some may give. Now, of course, we know that distance, right, traveling is often one reason that some would give. If you stay more towards the east, if you were to look for a church that you can worship, what would your priority be in looking for a church? More often than not, we hear how distance is actually one of the top priorities that they would make. You know, but in fact, actually in Singapore, this is something that we take for granted, right? With our public transportation system, with our road network, it's actually not a very far distance that we have to travel. Eh? I mean, if let's say you go from the east, travel down here, you know, it would take perhaps by public transport, maybe 1.5 hours. You know, I know of students, the time when I was teaching in NTU, FCM, there are some students who, when they were studying in NTU, you know, NTU is located in the east. Right? Some people joke that when you go to NTU, you must bring your passports with you. Okay, because it's so far, it's not in the east, sorry, it's in the west. Right, so far in the west. Okay, and there are some who actually study in the, who stay in the east. Right, they live in the east, in Tampines, in Pasir Ris. And every day when they go to school, they would travel nearly 2 hours to go to school. Why is it that they can be committed in that? You know, I actually asked some of them, don't you find that journey very long, you know, and such so far? Why don't you stay in hall? Okay, because that's one alternative. Now, for some of them, they do not really have that opportunity. I think it's not so easy to get a place. So some of them may not have that opportunity to stay in hall. Then you also have to pay some fees and things like that. So they do not stay in hall. So they make that journey down every day, 2 hours. You ask them, are you tired? They say, they get used to it. You know, in some other countries, that is actually quite normal for them. I know when I was in Australia, I spoke to some adults who were working. You know, their office, their workplace, by public transport, is about 2 hours away. And they make that journey every day. They're used to it. But for us in Singapore now, anything more than 20 minutes is wow, very far. And then also church, you know, and worship. We only have to gather once a week or twice a week for prayer meeting. But why is it that distance now has become that priority, that main consideration? Can you still choose to go down because it's something so important to you? That's something you're so excited about. I mean, people would travel for food. Or people may travel somewhere down to see something. They would queue up for hours to see something. But how about the worship of God? How about Christian fellowship? Because here the emphasis is not so much worship per se. There is going to be worship. We are going to see later on. But also of the gathering of the saints, of fellowship. Now, another way this passage can be applied is also not just in terms of fellowship on the Lord's Day, but also fellowship among saints, even on a more personal level, such as visitation, for example. No, and visitation, not necessarily only in times of sorrow, in times of affliction. No, there's, of course, that kind of visitation, a very meaningful type of visitation, where you visit those who may be sick, visit those who may be unwell. You know, to spend that time, to take that time, to say, I want to visit, to encourage this person. But there's also that visitation in times of rejoicing. Now, this is again the same case, right? Because this was a time of rejoicing, where Jethro heard about this good news. And when he heard about this good news, he brought Zipporah and the children down to Moses to just rejoice with him. And I wonder whether this is the kind of companionship and fellowship that we share. That if somebody is rejoicing, we also have that eagerness to rejoice with that person. And if somebody is suffering, we also want to suffer with that person. You know, in the Bible, we have other examples of such visitations. The companions of Paul, such as Timothy, when he was in Corinth. You know, he actually went down to Rome to visit Paul and other of his co-laborers as well. You know, of course, for them, again, that kind of visitation to visit Paul in prison, it was not a one-day journey. You know, it's not a half-a-day journey. It was something that would require a few days. And yet, that was how they wanted to minister to Paul. That was the kind of companionship and the friendship that they shared. And I wonder, is this also the same kind of care, of companionship that we would share? Now perhaps, maybe it's because of a culture thing. You know, I wonder that whether that's because that's the case, where we find it awkward maybe to visit. And then we also may find it awkward to receive visitors. Now it's a bit unique in a sense in Kenya. When I was in Kenya, one very interesting thing is that the people are very hospitable. Where when you visit them, you don't actually have to announce beforehand. Right, so when we actually go for like pastoral visitations, right, there are some church members along the week, if we know that they are sick or unwell, or on Sunday they do not come to church for whatever reason. So sometimes during the week we would visit them, both in Kenya as well as in Rwanda. And we have actually visitations quite regularly, right? Especially in Rwanda, like sometimes four times a week, three times, four times a week. In the afternoon, we will actually visit. And when we visit, it's not where we call and say, oh, are you free on this day? You know, can we come to your place and things like that? And then then you have to prepare, you know, clear up all the house, make everything neat and tidy first, then can visit. You can just actually visit anytime. And for them, you can just visit, and when you're there, they welcome you into their home, right? You will not, if let's say, I wonder, you know, maybe if the session, okay, or the elder visits one of you today, or tomorrow, or somewhere along the week, would you just, oh, welcome, come in, or will you stand at the gate? He says, why are you here? Right, you come and check on me, you come and inspect my home or something, is it? Then you only talk at the gate. Can you say, oh, okay, come. But will you just open your gate and just say, oh, welcome, you know, anytime? It's not so much our culture. We are a bit awkward in receiving visitors. We're also a bit awkward to visit because maybe our mentality is that if I just randomly visit this person, not too nice. I mean, of course, today with technology, we can inform the person first. We can call the person first. But I wonder, will you visit that person? And will you also receive visitors to have that hospitality? You know, the Bible actually emphasizes a lot about hospitality. In Kenya, they are very hospitable. I remember once when we were visiting a family, it so happened to be their lunchtime. Okay, so they were in the midst of lunch. And you know, over there, if you visit them at their lunchtime, if they are eating, what they will do is they will invite you to join them. If they are finishing their meal, they actually cook and prepare another set of meal for you, right? So we had to actually turn them down and say, no, please don't. They were really serious in preparing the meal for us. Okay, but we have to turn them down. We had other places to visit. But it's the kind of hospitality. This is the kind of fellowship. Know that this eagerness, this sincerity in showing care and also in receiving others. And that was what Jethro did. When he heard about this wonderful news, he sought very eagerly to see Moses. Do you look forward to Christian fellowship? To Christian companionship? This is why it's often said when we hear of how people, they say that their friends in the world, they are closer to their friends in their world. They enjoy the company of their friends in the world more than their friends in church, more than their family in Christ. You know, and then some also say that, oh, they meet their friends in the world more often, more regularly. But why not even share that companionship with your friends in the Lord, with your family in Christ? Take time. Take that initiative They did not have the handphone at those days, you know, to even just call up one another. Today we have these means. Well, really, if you are busy, you are unable to, would you at least, if you hear of someone who is down and discouraged, would you take the effort to maybe call that person to say, how are you? You know, can I pray for you? Is there anything that you would like to share? Can I bear your burden? Or even if, let's say, there's a wonderful news, and you call that person to rejoice with that person. Maybe even at least text that person. And this must be the seeking in gathering together. So this is what the Bible tells us here. Jethro brought Zipporah together with the two children to find Moses in order to fellowship with Moses. Then now, from verse 7 to 8, we see the sharing. So first S, right? First S, the seeking. Seeking together, together. Second, the sharing in gathering together. So when Moses met Jethro, the Bible tells us, Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. Okay? So Moses here met the father-in-law, and when he met him, he showed him that respect. Now, obeisance here just simply describes the respect, okay, according to the culture in those times. Right? So in those times, in those days, this was their way of showing that respect, okay, to receive them very politely, very eagerly. So Moses was also very excited to see Jethro. And then they started to ask about each other's welfare, and they also kissed him, right? So Moses kissed the father-in-law. And so here, again, this was according to the culture of those times, right? The kiss is an expression of affection. Now, in the Bible, we actually see this word kiss used several times, right? It's used in the instance of Esau and Jacob, okay, in the book of Genesis. We will also see this in the case of Laban and Jacob. Okay? So this is the kind of affection, the show of affection, according to the culture in those days. Now our culture today is quite different, right? We are not so comfortable with this kind of physical contact. Right? So even between parents and children, perhaps when they are younger, they are more affectionate. They show that affection more readily. But when they are older, now, usually in public, they do not show the affection too openly. And that's our culture. But in the culture in those days, the kiss, the show of affection, was a more common thing. And that was why Moses showed that affection to his father-in-law. Right? I would not do that to my father-in-law. Okay? It's not my culture. So it's not the same. But the principle of that showing of that affection, that love, the welcoming, it is the same. You know, and it's actually also very wonderful here that you see this kind of affection within the family. I believe that these are all those who worship Jehovah. They worship God. They are believers. And so they have the same God that they serve, the same God that they worship. And they have this same bond and same affection, and same love and care for one another. And this is a very wonderful sight. You know, there's the sharing here, not only just in terms of the words, right? Later on, we are going to look at their words and their testimony, but the sharing of the same God, and the sharing of the care for one another. And this is what we must also enjoy in the family of Christ, in the body of Christ, not just in our biological family. In fact, the bond that ties us in the family of Christ is stronger than the tie that binds us in our biological family. Because the tie that binds us in our biological family is just but blood. Right? Blood. But the tie that binds us in the family of Christ is the blood of Christ. And we know of so many cases where in biological families, they can separate. They can split, they can go their ways, even between brothers, siblings, even between parents and children. I mean, so often we see this in the papers. Brothers, siblings taking each other to court. Right? Children suing parents, parents suing children. So often. Right? There was this very famous oyster omelette store in Whampoa. I remember as a student in FBC, we used to like, we really liked that store in Whampoa. If you go there, there was a time where actually there were two stores. They say, why is it there are two stores? Because the brothers who opened that store fought. And so they opened two stores opposite each other, you know, to compete with each other. Recently went there again, there's only one store left. Okay, because apparently one of the other store has gone away. I do not know where it is already. But why do brothers fight? Why is it that this is what we see? How about in the family of Christ? Is there that affection? Is there that concern about the welfare of one another? Because the Bible says here, they ask about each other's welfare. Right? You look at verse 7, they ask about each other's welfare. And then they came into the tent. Right? So they ask about the well-being of one another. How are you? Now, the asking of the well-being is not just, being polite. Just to ask, how are you? And then after that, that's it. It's also now the sharing. They are willing and ready to hear how they are, each other. This is the care that they have. And this must be the same care that we have also in the body of Christ. The sharing is not just in terms of the words. The sharing is in terms of the life. We are so much involved in each other's life, in the body of Christ. They were so interested in each other's life. You know, when you ask, how are you? Be ready to hear what the person has to say with regard to how this person is. I remember once, you know, I actually had a unique experience. I was not ready for it. I remember just casually asking a person, you know, we just walking by each other along the way. And I asked this person, how are you? And the person started sharing and sharing and sharing. And then before I know it, was sharing for half an hour. I did not think that when I asked, how are you, it would be a half an hour sharing. And so if you ask, how are you, be prepared to hear, be prepared to listen. Okay? Of course, at that time, I didn't have anything on. So I could listen for half an hour. But if you have something on, then, yeah, no choice. Maybe you have to excuse yourself. But sometimes when we ask, how are you, we actually don't have the intention to really hear how the person really is. But I wonder, are you interested? You know, this is one of the weaknesses I think many of us have today. Not being ready to hear. Not being ready to listen. Not being ready to understand. Not having that compassion. The care for one another. Now, I was recently doing a study of the word compassion in the Bible. You know, there's this word, there are various words used in the Bible, but there's this unique word used in the Bible here. The word is also used of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Bible says that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And that word there means to sympathize with. You know, to sympathize means to feel together with that person. Now, the feeling there together with the person does not just mean, you know, I feel emotionally with that person. It literally has the idea of feeling the pain of that person, feeling the experience of that person. That means experiencing the same experience of the other person. And that's the meaning of the word compassion. That when somebody is experiencing pain, you are feeling the same pain as that person. When that person is in distress, you are experiencing the same distress. Now, of course, we know we cannot 100% experience the same thing that the other person experienced. But we can begin to understand, begin to feel with that person if we listen, if we understand, if we hear when the person shares that burden. I wonder, are we willing, ready to open and to share with one another how we are? And that's what Christian fellowship is about. It's not just about activities that you do. mean, of course, activities are also useful and appropriate. You know, there are activities that we can enjoy and share together. But it's not just about, you know, only activities. And that, you know, we all pretend that we are all doing well. Right? That we all pretend that we are all very happy in our lives. And that we pretend that we have no problems in our lives. But in the body of Christ, there must be the bearing of one another's burdens. How can I help you? How have you been? And then that sharing. Now, it of course takes two sides. On the one hand, there must be the willingness to hear and listen. And then on the other hand, also to trust that that person is ready and willing to listen. And be ready to share that burden. You see, sometimes we may not be so ready to share because we are afraid that the person will immediately pass judgment on us, even before they understand how we feel. Maybe sometimes we are not so ready to share also because we feel embarrassed about it. But in the family, in the body of Christ, there ought to be that openness, that trust, where we would bear one another's burden. This was what Jethro would do. Now, later on, when we see how Jethro advised Moses, gave Moses that counsel, it was because also of what he saw, what he observed. Do you know, are you compassionate? Do you care for the well-being of one another? Do you show that affection towards your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, of course, that's not all in the sharing, because then verse 8 also goes on to tell us, right? So, Moses and Jethro, okay, Moses showed the due respect to Jethro, then he kissed him, showing of the affection, and then they asked of each other's welfare. And in verse 8, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Right, so these were the things that Moses now shared. How the Lord delivered them out of Egypt. What the Lord did to Pharaoh. Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea. So Moses gave praise to the Lord. He spoke of the goodness of the Lord. And this is a very important part of our Christian fellowship as well. To give praise unto the Lord. To recount our blessings. You know, not only just to recount our blessings personally, but to speak of what the Lord has done in our lives. How the Lord has protected. How the Lord has delivered. How good the Lord has been to us. You see, sharing, sometimes we again misunderstand. It's only the sharing of burdens. Probably, yes, burdens play a very big part in our lives because we go through a lot of struggles. But how about our blessings? Has God not been good to you? Has God not delivered you? Has God not helped you? Is there nothing that you can testify of the Lord? This was what Moses first did. The Lord delivered us out of the Egyptians, out of Pharaoh, and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. Yes, they also faced some trouble along the way. So that's the word travail. Right? The word travail describes the hardships. So they faced great hardships along the way. There were enemies that they had to face, right? Just prior to this, the Amalekites that they had to face. And then also, prior to that, the lack of food, the lack of water. But then, the Bible says, how the Lord delivered them. Again, a wonderful testimony of how good the Lord has been to us. I wonder whether our lips are used to praise. Our lips are used to giving thanks. Where we can just speak endlessly about the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. Yes, maybe we are still in the midst of some trials and afflictions, and during such times, maybe our hearts are feeling down and discouraged. But even then, when you look back and you recount the days, the years that the Lord has seen you through, are there nothing that you can give thanks to God for? You know, this is something that social media cannot really replicate. I mean, you share certain things on social media, and some people share certain things on social media. Right? Maybe very good news, okay? Maybe something that you rejoice in, and then you just post some photos and then you share certain things. But No, it cannot really replicate because it cannot really express and capture how you really feel about that situation and what you really think about that situation. But I wonder, are you excited, you know, to share of that joy again? I'm sure there are some things in your life that you would just be so happy to repeat about over and over and over again. I mean, when I was younger, I know, for example, I used to, you know, watch more football and I used to support a club. And then when my, in school, right, when my friends, the rivals, they, my club lose and then the club win, they will just keep talking about it over and over, over again. They will describe it, you know, they'll post it on social media, they'll keep repeating it over and over again. I mean, of course, well, one reason is that they just want to gloat, they just want to rub it in. Another reason could be that he's just really genuinely happy. Now, of course, to me, today, it doesn't really matter anymore, it doesn't impact me anymore, because I realize that these things don't really impact my life. Right? Which club win, which club loses, it doesn't matter to me anymore. But, you know, it matters to some people. And then they will just keep talking about it over and over again, they just won't get tired of it. And I wonder whether this is also how it is for the things that the Lord has done for us. That you would just want to share and just talk about it over and over again. I'm sure there are some things that you would just be so excited to just repeat. Maybe the birth of a child. Maybe how the Lord brought some of you together in marriage. That testimony that you would just share again. Maybe how the Lord provided this school, or how the Lord provided this work, or how the Lord has seen you through some adversity. Never get tired of sharing of these things, because it brings glory to God. It gives praise to the Lord. Moses recounted of what he has experienced to Jethro. And then this brings us to the third thing. So there's the seeking together, there's the sharing. Right, there's the sharing of the life, the seeking of the welfare of one another, the affection that they show, and then the sharing also in terms of the testimony. Then, from verse 9 to 12, here I call this the singing. But really it's the praise. Right? I'm just looking for the S. That's why I call this the singing, the rejoicing. Because from verse 9 now, the Bible says, when Jethro heard this, he rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of Egypt. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who have delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who have delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. See, this is the wonderful result. Okay, you can say that here, the praise is also the result of the testifying, the result of the fellowship. See, at the end of this conversation, at the end of this encounter, at the end of this gathering, what has happened? The result was a very wonderful one, where the name of God is magnified. You may even say that Jethro himself was strengthened in the faith. He says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. Now, I believe that Jethro is a believer. But the testimony here speaks of how now Jethro was even strengthened in his faith through this fellowship and through this experience. And it also tells us what our fellowship must do. When we gather, when we meet, when we talk to one another, it must lead to the strengthening of our faith. That when we go away from one another, at the end of that conversation, at the end of that fellowship, you immediately look back and say, what a wonderful time we have. How we have encouraged each other so much. How we have really magnified the Lord. How we have testified for the Lord. This must be the kind of conversation even at the parting of the company, the experience that we have. But what are the experiences that we have sometimes today? The experiences that we have, you know, in conversations, even with one another, is it gossiping? Is it backbiting? You know that when you all meet one another, you take up the phone and then you talk. It's about, oh, you know, this person, that person, this person. How does that strengthen the faith of one another? Does that kind of conversation at the end, does it encourage your heart? Does it give praise and testimony to the Lord? And that's why you need to now refocus your fellowship. When you meet each other, to talk to one another. Let the result and let the end of it be such that you say, I know that the Lord that I serve is greater than all gods. This is such a wonderful testimony of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Praise be the Lord. And I can testify of these things. You see, the testimony is not just that. This again brings us back to what I wanted to mention earlier. In verse 3, the name of Gershom and the name of Eliezer. Now, of course, the name was already given earlier on. But you know, the names in the Bible has special meaning and special significance. And where the name is either used as a testimony, right? They give a name when some things have happened, and then they want to testify to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord, even for the children of prophets, he will give them names that can be a message to the people. So the names in the Bible are very unique. And in this case here, we have two names. One is the name Gershom. Now the literal meaning of the name Gershom is a stranger there. Okay, so he describes a person who is a stranger. So the Bible says here that one of the names is Gershom. And the reason why is because in verse 3, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. I have been a stranger in a strange land. And so that was the name of Gershom. So the name of Gershom also is a testimony that, you know, when now Jethro brought Zipporah with Gershom, the Gershom is a testimony. I was a stranger there. It's a reminder. And now when Moses saw Gershom, he's reminded again, I was a stranger there. But now the Lord is bringing us into his promised land. Right? Egypt was not my home. Now I'm being brought into my promised land. Then the second name, verse 4, the other name was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Now the name Eliezer means God of help. It may sound familiar to you because it sounds like Ebenezer. Right? You remember Ebenezer? Because Ebenezer means my stone of help. Right? Ezer means help. Eben is stone. So here it is Eliezer. Eli is God. Ezer, my help. So the Lord is my help. God of help. And this is again a testimony. When he sees Eliezer, it's a testimony that God has helped. And now all these things have come to pass. And that's why at the end of this passage, you will see how Jethro, he took a burnt offering and he sacrificed this to the Lord. Now, this was before the Mosaic Law was instituted. Right? And so, because before the Mosaic Law was instituted, here we have the head of the home, right? The father of the home, of each home, was a representative in those days. So, at this time, Jethro was the father-in-law. So, he was the representative of the home. Very similar to the time of Job. When before the Mosaic Law was instituted, then Job was the head of the home. He sacrificed on behalf of his sons. You remember that passage? So similar over here. Jethro, as the father-in-law, before the Mosaic Law was instituted, he was the representative of his home. He then took burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And now Aaron came and the elders of Israel, they ate bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So this was a sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving, of rejoicing, and of a memorial because of the goodness of the Lord. The singing, the rejoicing in our fellowship. This must be the fruits of our fellowship. You know what would be a fruitful church camp? Is when at the end of the church camp, you all testify that you had such a wonderful time of fellowship that you can't wait to renew that fellowship again. And that when you think back about the times in the church camp, the time that you spend in the church camp, it's not so much about not having any other responsibility, you know, not having to make your bed, not having to prepare food. I mean, these things are, of course, the bonus, right, of the church camp. No distractions. But beyond all this, it's because of the fellowship that you have shared, how you have encouraged each other, how you have reminded each other, how you have built each other up in Christ. Now, it could be through the very real struggles that some may face. But even through that, your fellowship, your companionship has been an encouragement to that person. Is this the kind of fellowship that we share in Christ? Do you look forward to gathering with one another? And this is the reason why, even when we speak about the Sabbath day, coming for worship service is an important part. It's the highlight. We worship God, we praise God. But the fellowship with the saints is also an important part of the day. Spend time sharing, communing, encouraging, reminding, building up one another in Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the bond that we share in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we testify, we know that we can have this wonderful tie of fellowship because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he has saved us and rescued us and delivered us from our sins. And he has also given to us the adoption of children, of sonship, that now we are also brought into the family of Christ. O Father, we thank thee for this wonderful fellowship that we can share in Christ. How important then it is, we know, for Christian brothers and sisters in Christ together in fellowship. Oh, how we thank thee that thou hast seen us through the COVID-19 pandemic. For we remember those times in the height of that pandemic where we were not able to meet for fellowship. Oh, how those were most distressing times. But by thy grace, thou hast now delivered us out of that pandemic. Help us then to never take fellowship for granted. And teach us always to have that eagerness, that excitement, and even the willingness at times to inconvenience ourselves so that we can encourage a brother or a sister who may be in need. O Lord, may thou give us the love of Christ. For we know that this is the love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But teach us now to manifest this love one towards another. We want to thank thee again that we can gather this afternoon for worship. May thou bless this Sabbath day and bless our fellowship. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.